At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Joining us on the line now is Simon Patrick. He's a singer who lives in Benidorm, and he's just been named European Grand Champion Elvis Impersonator 2023. He's already well known throughout Europe and is delighted to be awarded with this prestigious title for the second time. The event was held in Birmingham last week and saw 32 finalists battle it out from around Europe. Welcome to the show, Simon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi, thanks so much for joining us and congratulations.
Yes, crazy. I mean, 2009 to 2023 and still being able to pick up the title again is quite phenomenal, really.
Oh, absolutely. So how did you get into becoming an Elvis impersonator? How did that happen?
Well, it all started out with my mum, really, when I was young, because as I was driving up at the road today, a lot of these early 50s rock and roll songs came on the radio, and I found myself knowing every word to every one of them. It's down to my mother, like, playing them constantly when I was a kid, and especially Elvis, you know. I remember watching the movies with her from the early black and white stuff, and it just, for some reason, not a lot sort of caught my attention, but this did, and it stuck for the rest of my life, really.
Yeah, brilliant. And what do you look like? I mean, is your look like him, or do you wear a wig and things to look more like him?
No, lucky enough, I've got my own hair. Obviously, I have to dye it twice a year, because I'm normally quite light colour, so I have to dye it black. But I've got plenty of hair. I do some makeup and some touch-up before I go on stage to create the image. But when I'm not doing Elvis, I'm just a normal cap on my head and go to the gym, and that's it, really.
Brilliant. So when did you first not only start singing Elvis songs but professionally, but realizing that you could sound quite like him?
When I was a kid, I used to go to my local workmen's club, and I was fascinated with drummers. I always asked the drummers for the sticks afterwards, and I used to get up and say, you know, as I got older, I was like, I learned the likes of Blue Suede Shoes and things like that, and I used to say, look, could I get up and sing a song with you? And that sort of started at a really early age, like 10 years old. So that sort of hooked me onto that. And then as I got older, I started going to some, what they call, we call them shop windows around the UK. And they're like a load of different cabaret singers, and they go up and they do like a 20-minute slot for free. And then they got agents everywhere. So that's what I did, and an agent picked me up, and he put me in the pubs and clubs, and it just went up and up and up and went crazy from 20 years ago.
Amazing. And I'm guessing you get a really good reception everywhere you go. I mean, most people love Elvis, and, you know, when you see someone singing Elvis and someone doing it well, obviously, like yourself, everyone's, like, joining in, and, you know, people know all the songs, and it must just be a great atmosphere.
Yeah, it is, to be fair. I pick and choose where I sort of want to work now in the UK, especially. I do mainly ticket events because you want people that enjoy the music and enjoy you, not just the random people that are in a pub. So I stopped doing them years ago. But people are, they come out and they just want to hear the songs, and they want to dance, they want to let their hair down. And also they want a bit of an image to look at and think, wow, you know, he sounds, he looks, he moves. So you try to spook him in to give him a little bit of what it was like, sort of thing.
Yeah. And you've had some really big gigs. I mean, you've supported pop stars Adam Ant and Rick Astley, sell out shows at the Silverstone Grand Prix. You've performed in Hyde Park in front of more than 10,000 fans. I mean, some really big gigs. Are they some of your highlights?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, the charity event was for the breast cancer moonwalk appeal in London at Hyde Park, and there was about 15,000 there, and I remember just seeing heads everywhere, and what they had to do, they had to sort of like 3,000 at a time. You sang a song, and then they would leave, and then walk all around London for the charity of breast cancer. So that was a real big highlight of mine. The Silverstones were absolutely amazing as well. I remember with Adam Ant, I was on before him. I was on the day before him. So I in the change room, I left a little note for him saying, "I hope you have a great gig. I'm a big fan of yours," and I wedged it in the mirror. And the manager who booked me there, he sent me in the post a return note from Adam Ant saying, "We had a great gig. Now it's your turn. Now go and rock their socks off. Long live the king." And he signed it Adam Ant. So I put that in my scrapbook.
Oh, wonderful. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's lovely, isn't it? When people you really kind of look up to turn out to be really nice.
Yes, which is very rare these days.
So with regards to the competition then, what kind of thing happened? What did you have to do? How does it all work?
So you have to go, there was 32 to start with. You had to sing two songs, which got it down to 12. And then you had to sing another song, which got you down to the final five, judged by four different people. And then you had to do one song in the final, which was If I Can Dream. And the judges said that it was so close that it was nearly joint first and second. So they had to go back to the previous two songs and judge on vocal rating. And I won by 6 points or something.
Wow. So do they tell you what songs to sing each time? So they hear different people singing the same songs?
No, they don't tell you what to sing. But what they do say is that whoever gets in first, if you enter and you put the choice of your songs in, that those songs are then gone. So you can't have people repeating the same song every time.
Okay. So you need to know lots of songs then.
Yeah, I mean, out of the 800 that he did, I think I know about 370 something.
Gosh, he did 800 songs. That's insane.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about it is he didn't write one of his own songs, which is to be that famous and not write a song is untrue.
Gosh, wow. So, I mean, knowing 300 odd is amazing. I mean, are you wanting to learn more? Are you constantly learning, or are you just going over the ones that you know really well and love?
No, I keep challenging myself. I mean, vocally, there's some big, big, big ballads out there that I'd love to conquer. I'm slowly getting there, but it's one of those where you can't just half do it. Otherwise, you do it or you die. That's the way it is. So it's practice and practice and practice. And I've been doing it 20 years now, and I'm still learning. I still watch him on movies. I still watch the concerts just for mannerisms and the way stage present. I still watch to this day just if I could pick up on little things that he did, sort of thing. But there are also some bad songs that, especially when you go back to the movies, I mean, he sang songs like "Old MacDonald Had a Farm," and I'm not gonna be doing that one.
No, fair enough.
And the one about the dead dog, Old Shep, that's definitely not happening.
Oh, no. I mean, I guess you have to learn that there's kind of obvious ones that you have to learn straight away. If you're doing a gig, there'll be like a whole list of songs that people will expect to hear and will be kind of disappointed if you don't sing them, I suppose.
Yeah, it's strange, really, because obviously when you do a normal crowd, when I say a normal crowd, that doesn't sound right, but when you just do a crowd of people who like Elvis but not Elvis fans, they want to hear the standards. They want to hear Suspicious Minds, Wonder of You, Burning Love, etc. When you go and do a fan club show, like an Elvis fan club, that those guys want to hear the stuff that you never hear. They want to hear the obscure stuff. So that's why you've got to keep your genre quite large and make sure that if ever you get a call up for a fan club show, you've got to be able to know probably 20 songs that you don't normally hear. They're very obscure, and the fans love that.
Yeah, I bet. And you live in Benidorm. How long have you been there?
I do. I live just on the outskirts, a little place called Alfaz del Pi. And I've lived there now for 15 years. I've been working in the famous Rock and Roll House, which is on the Rincon. I've been there now for 17 years. I'm the longest serving resident, and I perform there only 6 nights a week.
Oh, wow. 6 nights a week. That's amazing.
It is. It's challenging on the vocals. So you can't have any like going out afterwards and having late nights and drinks. You've got to be professional and go home, rest, and then go to the gym. And then you have to do all the right things because you just burn out otherwise.
Yeah. And with a gig like that, are you doing the same songs, the same set each night, or can you mix it up a bit?
No, what I tend to do, one reason I tend to do this is to keep me mentally sane, is that on the Monday, I'll do the early Elvis. On the Tuesday, I'll do the GI. On the Wednesday, I'll do the 68 comeback. On the Thursday, I'll do the Vegas era. So 4 nights, I don't repeat the same song ever at all. So
that keeps
when the audiences come back, they see a different show every night for the first 4 nights.
Brilliant. Oh, that's a great idea. And after this, so you've won the Europe competition, and there's a World Tribute Championship coming up in April, and the winner gets to perform in the hometown of Elvis in Memphis, Tennessee. Wow, that would be incredible.
Yes, getting back to 2009, and when I won the European there, and it was a qualifier which got you through to the finals in Memphis. And I was when I first started out, and I was very inexperienced. I was nervous. I didn't really have much stage presence. So I did it and I didn't enjoy it. But the reason I go in June now, I go to Canada. And if I win that, that's an ultimate, what they call the ultimate qualifier, which gets you through to Memphis in August. Now, if you get to the final of that, there's 10 of you. And the winner of that is basically is crowned the ultimate champion of the world for the year.
Wow, how exciting. So you feel more prepared this time?
Yeah, I mean, when people say experience counts a lot in life, it is so true, because I know loads more now than I ever knew then, and I've learned more, and I can manage myself better and present myself better. It all comes down to experience. So, but when you get over there, them Americans, you know, they're a different league, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but they obviously love it.
Yeah, they do. I mean, we a lot of us get on really well. I mean, the hardest thing for anybody coming over from overseas is when you go over there and you get in the final and there's like 3,000 people in the theatre. you walk on and you probably got your mum in the crowd clapping you and no one else, because they don't know you, you see.
Yeah.
And then an American might come out and he's got 1,000 fans behind you.
God, so
it's hard work. Yeah, it's tough. It is tough.
Yeah. But I'm hoping and assuming that everyone in the audience, they're not just going to only clap the one they know. I'm hoping they get behind everybody to a certain extent.
Yeah, they do. I mean, like I said, the last time I went on, it was soul destroying, because it was like no one knew what was my name or anything. So there was a couple of little claps, but it wasn't like it knocked your confidence a bit. But you know, when you've got a good following behind you, and when you walk on, they go crazy, and when you move, they scream. And I mean, I don't know if it influences the judges. I don't know the answer to that, but it sure must help a little bit.
Yeah, can you take more fans with you this time?
It's not cheap, you know. It's £1,000 just for your flight's return.
Gosh, wow. Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, see if you can drum up some more support to go with you. That'll be good.
It's either that or I'll have to try and get some friends over there, make some friends and meet them when I get there.
Yeah, exactly. Go over earlier and rent a crowd or something.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, best of luck with that. Please keep in touch with us. Let us know how you get on. It would be lovely to chat with you again. In the meantime, if people want to follow you online and see what you're doing, have you got a website?
I have a website, yes. It's rebelkingpromotions.com. Also, they can find me on Simon Patrick Elvis Tribute Artist on Facebook, and on Instagram is rebelkingpromotions.com again. So they're my three things. And just to let them know, anybody on the sort of costas and stuff, the Rock and Roll House is my home, and that's where I work 6 nights a week, 11 o'clock till 12 o'clock. And I have Sundays off.
Fantastic. Well, we've got lots of listeners in Benidorm, so I'm sure if they haven't seen you already, then they'll be straight down Rock and Roll House to see you perform.
Yeah, and I'm back there, and I'm going on holiday now because I'm absolutely shattered, and I've not had no time off since March. So I'm going on holiday as from Monday, so I'll be back at the Rock and Roll House on March the 13th.
Okay, well, enjoy your holiday. Where are you off to?
I'm going to Vietnam.
Oh, wonderful. Fantastic.
Yes, I'm going to go traveling around the little islands and check out the history of the war and all that and get some sun and just switch off, you know, and then recharge.
Yeah. Oh, that's important. Well, have an amazing time. And it's lovely to chat with you, Simon. I hope we get to catch up again soon.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Take care. I've got the song If I Can Dream, which was the song that made you the winner. So we'll play that now.
Brilliant. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Simon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why, oh why, oh why can't my dream come true? Oh why? Must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why. Still, I am sure that the answer's gonna come somehow.